Good evening. We'll be in 2 Kings 21. Some of the time. I want to talk to you about one of the kings, King Josiah. I've been reading in my chronological Bible, which is somebody took the Bible and chopped it all up in pieces and tried to put it all in order, which is really neat because it helps me anyway to, like, when King Josiah was king, Jeremiah and Zephaniah were the prophets at the time, and so those two prophets are mixed in with 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, and so the story is based on a timeline instead of the way the Bible is. And they say in the front cover of this book that all the Bible verses are in there, so I'm going to trust them on that, because I don't know how you would go about figuring out if they were all in there without a computer program of some sort. But anyway, so I was very impressed with King Josiah. So tonight what I want to do is I'm going to read a lot, but Josiah was a very good king, was what the subtitles said. And I'll just let you go away. Okay. And he was starting with a deficit. I mean, his great-grandfather was King Hezekiah, and then his grandfather and his father were not so good. It's one of the blue ones, so it should be, they're not generally a problem unless you sit on them or something. But anyway, so he didn't have a very good start, but he ended up being one of the best kings that was in Judah. And so he started with a deficit, and then he ended up being very, very religious. He ended up cleaning up a lot of messes. King Solomon's messes, a lot of them. So anyway, you'll see that when we read. Israel, the other half of the kingdom of the Jews, at this time had already been taken into captivity by Assyria. So Josiah, king of Judah, was the only king in the area of the Jews. And so the Assyrians didn't take all the Jews. They took some of them, but they didn't take all of them. And so there was actually Jews from a lot of the different tribes were coming to Judah because there was a revival of sorts. Not of sorts, it was a big revival. And so that remnant that they talk about all through the Old Testament was really coming together, and Josiah was kind of over a unified Israel to some extent because of their religion. So they were coming together, they were kind of throwing away their tribal differences and coming together, which was kind of neat. And you'll see hints of that through there. And he even went into Samaria to get rid of the Asherah and the Baal worship and all that. So he was going out of his territory and into other territory and cleaning things up. Let's see. And he's also pretty young. He started as a king at age 8, and it took him a little while to get up and running, but around 16, I think he was cleaning, tearing up the neighborhood. So he got going pretty well. All right. And I was also wondering, who was his spiritual influence? Because usually an 8-year-old doesn't just pop up, become king, and become a zealot for God all on his own. I mean, that's just not, that's not the norm. Even when they start out good, they a lot of times ended badly. But he ended up, so I was wondering if it was maybe his mother, or it could have been his grandfather, who started out bad and was taken into Egypt, I think, as a captive, and then submitted to God and came back, was brought back, and had a kind of a revival. Although his father was not a good influence. All right. And then also look for Josiah had good and long focus. His whole reign pretty much was, one of the phrases was, he turned not to the right or to the left. So he had very good focus and knew what he wanted to do and spent pretty much his whole 30, he was king for 31 years, pretty much spent the whole time going down that path, which is amazing. And then think about what your definition, if God told you you would be gathered to your grave in peace, what would that look like to you? And then we'll find out how Josiah was gathered to his grave in peace. Josiah was determined to follow God and to take his nation with him. He was very much a leader, and he fit the... I mean, he was very young. When he told somebody to do something, you get the feeling it was done, and done very thoroughly. And he didn't take... He wasn't politically correct, because politically correct would have been idol worship, and he definitely was not that. He did many good works with the cleansing and his Passover feast, and it doesn't look like he got any breaks really from God because of it. Like King Hezekiah got time added onto his life because he reacted just like Messiah did. But Josiah didn't seem to get that break. And in fact, it says that in so many words in one place. And then at the end, very end of his life, he thought he knew what was going on, but he made a wrong choice. And I don't know if it ended well or not for him. We'll have to see what you think of that. Although I don't, you'll have to tell me afterwards. So, anyway, that's what I want you to watch for as I'm reading through here. So I'm going to be reading out of ESV because it's my healthiest Bible. It's holding together. And so we're going to start in 2 Kings 21, and we'll be there for a little bit in 2 Kings. 2 Kings 21, 24. One verse. Find it here. But the people of the land struck down all those who had conspired against King Ammon, which was his father. They assassinated him. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his place. So the king's assassins were assassinated themselves, and then his son is made king. His father only ruled for 2 years and was not a good man. Okay. 2 Kings 22, 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. I admire that very much. I am highly distractible, and that's a trait that is very handy to have. Okay, chapter 23, 25 and 26. Let's see here. Turn the page. All right. Before him, Josiah, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. And I was going to go to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5, but since we sang that song, I'm not going to go there. So the second song was perfect. Whatever it was called. But it was all about love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Or three things. Your whole being, in other words. All right. Now, I just forgot to read my notes. So, he was 8 years old when he was made king. He ruled for 31 years, so he died when he was 39. His mother may have been his righteous, his link, may have been his grandfather. And he was very focused. Okay. And also, I was thinking, we'll also find out that Zephaniah, who is one of the prophets this time, could very well have been a relative of his. And so, you know, having a prophet for a relative is probably a pretty good connection. All right. Let's go to... where are we? Okay. 2 Chronicles 34. So you have to flip a few pages. 2 Chronicles 34. And we'll be... You want to keep a finger in 2 Chronicles 34, or thereabouts. Okay. 2 Chronicles 34, 3 through 7. For in the 8th year of his reign... So he'd be 16. While he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, and the carved and metal images. And they chopped down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and he cut down the incense altars that stood above them. And he broke in pieces the Asherim and the carved and metal images, and he made dust of them, and scattered it over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, and as far as Naphtali, in their ruins all around. And I find that interesting, in their ruins, because the Assyrians had been there and spoiled the area, basically. And so... It was kind of an... I'm sure there was people that living there and stuff like that, but it was not, like, organized. It was a suppressed area, I guess you'd say. He broke down the altars and beat the Asherim and the images into powder and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel. Then he returned to Jerusalem. So he's... I'm just impressed by the get up and go, I guess, of this. He's just, it sounds like a very well established idol worship, and he's just going into it and really tearing it apart. And I would think for someone that young, it would be very easy to be influenced to just let things, you know, it's been this way since Solomon. We're going to get into somewhere, I can't remember exactly where, but where it was Solomon that set up a lot of these places. And they've been there the whole time they've had a divided kingdom. I mean, this is years and years. These are like architecture. I mean, this isn't just some tin shanty that they've thrown up and they're like a meth lab or something like that. It's something that has substance to it, albeit evil. All right. All right. Now we're going to skip over to Jeremiah 1 and 1 and 2. Jeremiah 1, 1 and 2. This is just to tie it in. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anahoth, and I'm not going to worry too much about the names, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So that gives time frame. Jeremiah is starting his work in this at this time, or at least that's the way it appears to me. And one side note, it said that there was no king like Josiah to arise after him. Well, there was only two more after him, and they didn't really weren't there that long because the Babylonians are, as the Assyrians are declining, the Babylonians are on the rise, and God's wrath is had enough, and so he's going to let the Babylonians run. So, all right, and then we're going to go to Zephaniah 1 and 1. And Zephaniah is almost to the New Testament. Just a hint there. All right, Zephaniah 1 and 1. The word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, son of Gedadai, something like that, son of Amariah, son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. So I found that interesting, that I always thought the prophets came from no-name potters and, you know, people who were farmers and stuff like that. And here we have somebody, Zephaniah was royalty. And one of the commentaries I was reading said you can tell by the way he writes and stuff that he had been in the court and knew the ins and outs of all the royalty and stuff like that. So he's probably a relative of Josiah and sounds like a in the king's line of sorts. All right. So these two prophets are prophesying, and if you read through Jeremiah and Zephaniah, it's bad news. I mean, it's not good news that they have to talk about, and you wouldn't even know from reading them that Josiah was a good king. I mean, you would think it was bad, 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 and that tempers my. I think Josiah was a very good king. But I think he had a very split kingdom. I think he had people that were very excited that he was king and following him and being Jewish, you know, following God. But I think there was also a lot of people who were not following God and who were doing what was wrong, just as well as... And it seemed to center around Jerusalem, and that would make sense. I mean, if you got your zealot, Josiah was the firebrand, and he was laying down the law, and that was in Jerusalem. And the further out you would get from there, and his reach was, he was trying to cover Israel, but things were not well organized, and he wasn't used to having the whole kingdom. So, anyway, okay. So, where were we? All right, we're going back to 2 Chronicles 34. So hopefully you kept your finger there. We're going to read almost all, maybe all of it. I never figured that quite out. Verses 8 through 13. Okay. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, I didn't bother to do the math on that one, so I don't know how old. Is he 18? Yeah, I did do that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's getting close to the end of it, actually. Well, 10 years. 10 years left, I guess. Or somewhere in there. Okay. I have 80s math background, so. Okay. Close enough. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had cleansed the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azalah, and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Johaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Now maybe this isn't, but think, just in some of these scriptures I'm going to read, notice what they take out of the temple, and you'll just see how far they had slid. I don't quite think this is one of them yet. So, they came to Hilkiah the high priest and gave him the money that had been brought into the house of God, which the Levites, the keepers of the threshold, had collected from Manasseh and Ephraim, and from all the remnant of Israel, and from all Judah and Benjamin, and from the inhabitants of Jerusalem. See, some Manasseh and Ephraim isn't supposed to be in his jurisdiction. They're in Israel side of it. It's only Judah and Benjamin under Josiah, if I have my facts straight. So there's people that are very interested in this on both kingdoms. And they gave it to the workmen who were working in the house of the Lord. And the workmen who were working in the house of the Lord gave it for repairing and restoring the house. They gave it to the carpenters and the builders to buy quarried stone and timbers for binders and beams for the building that the kings of Judah had let go to ruin. And the men did the work faithfully. Over them were set Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites, of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshum, of the sons of the Kohathites, to have oversight. The Levites, all who were skillful with instruments of music, were over the burden bearers and directed all who did work in every kind of service. And some of the Levites were scribes and officials and gatekeepers. While they were bringing out the money that had been... All right, I was supposed to stop there. Okay, so he's restoring the temple. He's putting money towards it, and I mean, they're fixing it up. And the people are into it because, I mean, what other government project, when there's money involved, all the money gets to the project? I mean, just saying. A lot of it disappears. So, it looks like it all got there. Okay. All right, so now we're going to continue on, verse 14. While they were bringing out the money that had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. Let's see, do I want to do that now? And then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Okay, now let's jump over to Deuteronomy 31 and 24. All right, I'm going to read two verses, it looks like. When Moses had finished writing the words of this law in a book to the very end, Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And this, I think, was a family of the Kohathites, which is the guys we're talking about over in 2 Chronicles. Take this book of the law and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. And I'm going to read one more, because I find this interesting. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Behold, even today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? So, did Moses call this or what? He knew what was going to happen. So he stuck it in a safe place where they would find it. All right. Where were we? Okay, right here. All right, I found the book of the law, and Hilkiah gave it to Safan. Okay, verse 16. Safan brought the book to the king, and further reported to the king all that was committed to your servants they are doing. I find this interesting, too. So there's still politics going on. You can tell he's a king. They come to the king. They found something even more important than the money and fixing the temple, but they take care of business first. They say, all that has committed to your servants, they are doing. So we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And make sure they got that in there. They have emptied out the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have given it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Safan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Safan read from it before the king. And when the king heard the words of the Lord, law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahiakim, the son of Safan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Safan, the secretary, and Asaiah, the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. Okay. All right. So we keep going. So Hilkiah and those whom the king had sent went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tokhath, son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and spoke to her to that effect. That piques my curiosity. We'll probably never know what that means. And she said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book that was read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God, when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me and have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants. And they brought back word to the king. Okay, so remember, think in your mind, okay, God's told you you'll be gathered to your grave in peace. Okay, what do you, just in your mind, make a picture in your head, and then keep it there for a minute, okay, or several minutes. All right, so this is a king A king who's used to people coming around him and making sure they're taking care and tell him we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're, you know, their kings like to have done what they want done. And then they read the word of God to him, and he weeps and tears his clothes. And was tender-hearted and humble. I mean, that's not generally the way you would think a king would be. A king was someone who was could fight better than all those around him and could take control of the situation, outsmart them, outlead them. You know, he had and that kind of tended to be what kings did. They overpowered. They were the alpha. They were the top of the heap. And here, he was tender-hearted, and God appreciated that and took that into his thoughts, I guess, and gave him this. This is about all the break Josiah gets right here. Okay. And I totally lost my place again here. Okay, we're in 20. Okay, now we're going to continue on. 29. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. So the king's, he's fired up. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites, all the people, great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. Then he made all who were present in Jerusalem and in Benjamin join in it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations from all the territory that belonged to the people of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not turn away from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. So here we have a king who was determined to follow God. He was going to follow God if it killed him and those around him. And he was determined to take his people with him. And he gets all the men there, and then he makes them all promise to do this. And you kind of get this, or I get this feeling that some of them probably weren't too happy with that. Maybe. But he was king, and he had that power and right to do that. And I thought it was also interesting that he said all the men who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin, which was his territory. Judah and Benjamin was his territory. And the people from Ephraim and Naphtali or where, whatever tribe they were there on their own accord, and they were there because they chose to be there. So, all right. Okay, now we're going to flip to back to Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah 3:6-7. This is just to give you a flavor of what Josiah is doing, what I consider a top-notch job of following God, the prophets aren't reflecting that too well. The Lord said to me in the days of King Josiah, "Have you seen what she did, that faithless one, Israel? How she went up on every high hill and under every green tree, and there played the whore. And I thought, after she has done all this, she will return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And it goes on to say that Judah just follows right along in the same path. And then skipping down to 14 through 16. This is the hopeful part, maybe. Return, O faithless children, declares the Lord, for I am your master. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. That sounds like the remnant, right? He would take one from a city and two from a family. And I think if you read on, it might be a prophecy about the church. And I don't know, that's my interpretation, so I'm not going to claim it. Just kind of how it struck me. But anyway, it's that remnant. And that's what was actually happening. People were coming from the other tribes and joining in with Josiah. Okay. Back to 2 Kings 23. Sorry, I forgot to tell you to keep a finger there. keep one in 2 Chronicles. 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, they're very similar. I just picked the ones I kind of liked the storyline better. With the points they brought out and stuff. So, we're 23. All right, 2 Kings 23, 21 through 27. Wrong page. And the king commanded all the people, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. So they found out, you know, what they were doing wrong. They were doing some things right, because he was fixing the temple up. He was getting rid of Baal and Asherim and that kind of stuff. But apparently they'd forgotten all about the Passover. And the king commanded all the people, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. For no such Passover had been kept since the days of the judges who judged Israel, or during all the days of the kings of Israel, or of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was kept to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah put away the mediums, the necromancers, and the household gods, and the idols, and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might establish the word of the law that were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. Still, the Lord did not turn from the burning of his great wrath, by which his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocation with which Manasseh had provoked him, which was his grandfather. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and I will cast off this city that I have chosen, Jerusalem, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. Okay, so and I think it's Chronicles, they talk about all the sacrifices and that were made for the Passover. And they were just, it was like a huge barbecue without the barbecue. I mean, they were cooking meat and all these sacrifices and all this stuff. And everybody was, I mean, it was a huge thing. And so he really outdid all the other kings on it. Now, we're going to backtrack just a whisker, and I can't remember why I did that. We're in the same chapter, 23, and up to verse 4. Maybe it'll come to me why I did this. 2 Kings 23, verse 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers... Oh, I know why I'm doing. Well, sort of. This is Solomon's set some of the stuff up. This is stuff in the temple. This is kind of shows how far Josiah... I mean, he was going a long ways here. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the threshold, to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the hosts of heaven. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron, and carried their ashes to Bethel. And he disposed the priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to make offerings in the high places at the cities of Judah and around Jerusalem. Remember, they were the other half appointed their own priests, and they had two other, was it Shiloh and Bethel? They had altars there, and they were doing their own stuff there as well. All right, I lost my place here. All right, ordained to make offerings in the high places at the cities of Judah and around Jerusalem. Those also who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and the moon and the constellations and all the hosts of heavens. And he brought out the Asherah from the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem to the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and beat it to dust, and cast the dust of it upon the graves of the common people. And he broke down the houses of the male prostitutes who were in the house of the Lord. We think, I mean, seems like we've sunk a ways, but this is bad too. This is where the women wove hangings for the Asherah. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had made offerings, from Gibeah to Beersheba. And he broke down the high places of the gates that were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on one's left at the gate of the city. However, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brothers. And he defiled Topsah, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no one might burn his son or his daughter as an offering to Molech. And he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord, by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the precincts. And he burned the chariots of the sun with fire, and the altars on the roof of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars that Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He pulled down and broke in pieces and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, to the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had built for Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And he broke in pieces the pillars and cut down the Asherim, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar of Bethel, the high place erected by Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, the altar with the high place he pulled down and burned, reducing it to dust. He also burned the Asherah. And as Josiah turned, he saw the tombs there on the mount. And he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar and defiled it, according to the word of the Lord that the man of God proclaimed, who had predicted these things. Then he said, "What is it, that monument that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and predicted these things that you have done against the altar at Bethel." And he said, "Let him be. Let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone, with the bones of the prophet who came out of Samaria. And Josiah removed all the shrines also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made, provoking the Lord to anger. He did to them according to all that he had done at Bethel. And he sacrificed all the priests on the high places who were there on the altars, and burned human bones on them. Then he returned to Jerusalem. That's a lot. That is a lot. So his life is about over. We are going... I knew Solomon had gotten into some stuff that had not been good with his wives and stuff like that. But I didn't know to that extent. And for that whole time period, it had been like that. And it just makes you wonder why God put up with it for this long. All right. So, let's go to Jeremiah 10. We're almost done here. Yeah, okay. Jeremiah 10, 23 through 24. Page. All right. And this is the verse that kind of got me going on this, because a lot of times I think I know what I'm doing, and I think I know what God wants, and it isn't. And we need to be very careful and pay attention to what God has to say. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, in justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. And I get the feeling that this is kind of what Josiah was like. He was going full steam for God, and whenever he found out that he wasn't doing something right, he was very humble and willing to change his path and to get onto the right path and to go after that full bore as well. All right. Think of being gathered to your grave in peace, and turn to 2 Chronicles 35. Josiah thought he knew what he was doing. Keep that also in mind. He's actually kind of siding with the Babylonians, if I understand the context here. And the king of Egypt is fighting against the Babylonians. Okay. 35 and 20 through 27, the end of the chapter. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, went up to fight at Carchemish on the Euphrates. And Josiah went out to meet him. But he sent envoys to him, saying, "What have we to do with each other, king of Judah? I am not coming against you this day, but against the house with which I am at war. And God has commanded me to hurry. Cease opposing God who is with me, lest he destroy you." Nevertheless, Josiah did not turn away from him, but disguised himself in order to fight with him. He did not listen to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, but came to fight in the plain of Megiddo. And the archers shot King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, "Take me away, for I am badly wounded." So his servants took him out of the chariot and carried him to his second chariot and brought him to Jerusalem. And he died and was buried in the tombs of his fathers. All Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Jeremiah also uttered a lament for Josiah. And all the singing men and singing women have spoken of Josiah in their laments to this day. They made this a rule in Israel. Behold, they are written in the laments. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his good deeds, according to what is written in the law of the Lord, and in his acts, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. So, being gathered to your grave in peace, did it involve war and an arrow and a chariot ride? Not exactly what I had would have pictured as being gathered to my grave in peace. But it probably was a lot better than being overtaken by the Babylonians and having to suffer what went on when they finally took over. So it was probably in his best interest. Now, if God was in control, I think it was in his best interest. So anyway, those are my thoughts for tonight. I just was kind of intrigued by his story and how he followed God with everything he had. And I would like to do likewise. And if there's anybody else, we'll offer an invitation at this time. If you want to follow God, make yourself right with God and follow him like with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and we can help you with that as we stand and sing the closing song.